Monster Man, episode 492, Lycanthropes. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through the monsters of Al-Qadim, the Arabian Nights-inspired fantasy setting for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. Today, we have two monsters within one category. These are lycanthropes. Now, I know, lycanthrope means wolfman, but it means all kinds of werebeasts of various types in AD&D, and there are a lot of them. Oddly, neither of these ones is in the Monstrous Manual, even though I think they come in the Monstrous Manual from all sorts of places, because I think there's some core ones, and I think there's some Ravenloft ones, so I don't know what's up with that. The two lycanthropes here in Al-Qadim are pretty much what you'd expect. They are just were versions of animals that you might find in the region, you know, the kind of like real world regions that inspired the fictitious region of Al-Qadim. Fair enough. You've got the were hyena, and we've got the were lion. Of the two, I think the were hyena is a little bit stronger. Let's start with that one. So the were hyena is based on a lot of different tales about people who are able to turn into hyenas. I would say that for the most part, were hyena beliefs, like actually about people turning into hyenas, are mostly African, and mostly, therefore, they're about spotted hyenas. There are magical hyena beliefs in like Western Asia where there are also hyenas, but I believe those are striped hyenas. It might be the other way around. Actually, having said that, you get both spotted and striped hyenas in some parts of Africa, such as Sudan, where one of these were-hyena stories comes from. Now, of course, they're not called were-hyenas. That is a overarching term that we have made up to describe them by analogy to werewolves. In Sudan, particularly in Western Sudan, were-hyenas tend to be people who are already powerful in some ways, like blacksmiths. So belief in the magical power of blacksmiths is pretty common in many cultures, and the idea that blacksmiths are magically potent seems to be like that kind of, you know, the blacksmith who's also a wizard is kind of a stock character in the fairy tales of various African cultures. This may be because the way that blacksmiths were taught, or the way that just like blacksmiths associated with each other, was seen as being like secretive. So, you know, what are they hiding? Or something like that. Anyway, I was reading this article on were hyena beliefs by a guy called Jürgen W. Fremgen. And he says that in Sudan, were hyenas particularly prey on lovers. So they go out at night in hyena form to prey on people, and they seem to especially target young lovers. We get a description in here about how the were hyena has a second mouth. That comes from Ethiopia, I believe, where the local were hyena monster is called a Buddha. And one Buddha story says that they bury their victims alive and then they save them to eat later. And there are other stories that aren't were hyenas, but they're kind of magical or supernatural hyena stories, and they attribute a lot of malice and cunning to the animal and make it out to be more dangerous than it really is. It's an animal that fulfills a little bit of a supernatural menace role, kind of like wolves do in European folklore. One difference between the were hyena and, at least as far as I can tell, the hyena tales that I've been reading, is that your D&D were hyenas travel in packs, whereas the folkloric were hyenas are more like single individuals. I think the pack behavior is something that is drawn from actual hyenas, which are pack animals. It doesn't have the thing where hyena packs are led by females, but maybe that's because that's going to be the case for lions as well. Not a lot of superstitions relating to were animals really have all that much to do with the real-world behavior of those animals, because, of course, these stories aren't told from the perspective of, let's start with the actual hyena and then make stuff up from there. The people who pass on these stories don't think of themselves as making things up, I don't think. Which is not exactly the same as saying that the stories are believed to be true, but they're created very differently. So that's the were hyena. Were hyenas are pretty good. I think most people have a sense of hyenas as kind of vicious and cruel, even if it's just from The Lion King. Now, the were lion is a little more bare bones. We don't learn very much about the social aspects of the were lion. We know about their like pride structure, but that's pretty much how lions are. And the stereotype of male lions as, you know, lazy layabouts is replicated here in the were-lion. They sometimes work for lion lords, otherwise Sabu Lords, which we won't get to until later in the book. But most of this information, most of what's in this entry, is like tactical stuff about how they hunt, and again, it's largely derived from the real-world behavior of lions. Now, this may be because the were-lion is less grounded in folklore than the were-hyena. Almost every culture that has some kind of contact with hyenas has a story about supernaturally malevolent hyenas, but lions apparently less so. Now, is this because human contact with lions is just rarer? I don't know. Is it because the hyena's scavenging behavior and, frankly, kind of uncanny laugh give it a more menacing aspect? Now, that's not to say that there are no stories about humans turning into lions. There are even contemporary ones. I found a news report from Malawi in 2021 that talks about how there's this lady, and after she died, her neighbors burned her body for fear that her dead body would turn into a lion, which is something that I like, the idea that whatever power she has to change shape, like, almost becomes uncontrolled after her death. That's pretty cool. Now, I don't know if this actually happened. A lot of the publications of the story that I could see were framed in a kind of polemic way, so kind of mocking the people who believed this for their, you know, dumb superstitions or whatever. So, you know, who knows if it actually happened, but from a gaming perspective, it's a good story, and it's a fun idea of someone transforming into someone else in death. There are some other shape-shifting lion-like creatures in the folklore of different African cultures. So, for instance, the Kikuyu legend of a creature called the Elimu is similar, but in that case, it's an animal that can turn into a person. And while Elimu can be lions, they don't have to be. They can be really any kind of animal. There's examples that are like crocodiles. Now, it seems like I'm being a little bit critical of the were-lion, and I'm really not. I don't think that this monster doesn't work. I actually think it works fine. But this is largely because of the existing association of the animal. Lions are one of those animals to whom we attach both mythic meaning and kind of nature show facts. And that gives us such a rich set of tools to work with that I don't know how much the author really needs to add in order for us to go, okay, we're lion. Well, I know what humans are like, and I know what lions are like. Got it. I should say, just for the sake of completeness, that although we've never talked about were hyenas before, I don't think, or at least certainly not like the Al-Qadim ones, we have talked about the Lucrocata, or Lucrota, which is essentially a garbled bestiary version of a hyena. So we did talk a little bit about hyenas as monsters back in season one, which seems like 100 years ago at this point. All right, that is about all the Al-Qadim monsters that we have time for today. In the middle of this week, we're going to have the third of our unusually spaced once per week Patron Deities episodes. After that, the show is going to be back to normal on its usual every other week schedule. And at the end of this week, we're going to have a special episode all about what happens when the monsters are the landscape. So I hope that you will join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram at MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.